This program on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Allied Media Group.
Now, live in studio, he's a San Diego native, an Aztec alum, and now lives, works, and plays in America's finest city. He's crushing the real estate market and here to help you with the real, the reliable, and results-based advice. Your host, Carlos Gutierrez.
Turn it up. Hello, San Diego. It's Carlos Gutierrez here, the Carlos Gutierrez Show in beautiful, sunny San Diego. Welcome to the show. I think this is our sixth show. Welcome.
Seventh.
Wow, listen to that. David, where's my numbers here? Number seven. Well, hey, welcome to our show here. We've got a great show for you here in San Diego. I've got my friends in studio right now, and I got a good friend online. So I got Jonathan Horn here. Jonathan Horn is from the Union Tribune. He covers all real estate and economics for the UT and just recently bought by the LA Times.
That's right.
That was a pretty big deal, $86 million.
That's right, Carlos. And it was it's been a very interesting couple of weeks here, and we just moved our presses from San Diego to LA. So people are going to notice that the paper is not going to be printed in Mission Valley, but it should still get there on time coming from LA.
Well, that should be good. It's going to be printed in LA then, huh?
Yeah, they already started, I think, on Monday. Yep.
Interesting. And then I've got my good friend Tyler Anderson here from Casual Fridays. Tyler and I go back many years. We're doing awesome. Thanks for coming on in. Tyler and I have a radio career for many years back in the day, and now he owns his own business.
That's right.
Entrepreneur Casual Fridays.
That's right. We, even though I come from traditional, social's always been in the blood. So we are a social media agency here in San Diego.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, hey, it's great to have you here. And then I've got Mr. Jason Rowe. Jason, you out there?
I'm here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. And Jason is a good friend of mine. He's with Revolvus Consulting, strategist helping even our fellow Aztec, Mr. Kevin Faulkner, win his last mayoral race and a lot of others. And Jason right now is calling in from Washington, D.C. How's the weather back there, Jason?
It is humid, but, you know, it's a reminder of what moisture feels like.
Without being in a shower, right?
Exactly.
Well, hey, big news out there on D.C. We heard that
Real Donald Trump.
Yeah, the real Donald. I was going to say something. Yeah, the real Donald Trump is going to run for president. Tell us a little bit about that, Jason.
Well, I think it's going to be great for entertainment value, but I think as soon as they lock down his contract renewal for the TV show, I have a feeling that campaign is going to go the way of the dodo bird.
Yeah, it should make it. It's already a circus already, you know, the presidential reigning race, so it'll be interesting.
Well, you know, rarely do I see things that unite conservatives and liberals as well as Donald Trump does, and I have had my conservative and liberal friends emailing me saying, please don't tell me that you support Donald Trump for president. So, you know, it's good to see that the Donald is able to bring people together.
That's great. Now tell us, are you behind Donald?
No, I am. Well, I'm certainly not in front of him. Listen, I actually think it's going to be very entertaining. You know, I think being a Republican myself, I think we don't often get treated very well in kind of popular culture. And, you know, the Donald is a bit of a caricature, but, mm-hmm. you know, at least I think, you know, he's a guy that can, you know, be at some level representing some conservative voice in popular culture. So, you know, he's got some utility.
Exactly. Yeah, he does beat to his own drum, doesn't he?
He does.
Well, hey, we've got Jason on here. You know, one of the biggest topics, and we were just talking about this, Jason, with Jonathan and Tyler and David, we're talking about the stadium and what's going on with the stadium. And the stadium has a lot of value, not only the land there, what's there now, but it's the Chargers. And I know that you were a part of that task force. So share a little of the insight maybe that some of the San Diegans don't have, Jason.
Well, I'll tell you, your timing couldn't be better because, you know, just within the last couple of hours have been some very significant developments that I think are not developments that should make San Diegans optimistic. Chargers fans should not be optimistic. It's actually, I think, incredibly bad news. And the bad news is that the Chargers have effectively pulled back from negotiations with the city and the county to find a solution that keeps the team here. They are using their excuse du jour, and I say that because throughout this process over the last 7 months, Mark Fabiani has come up with any excuse possible to be a roadblock to finding a solution. He has been the exact opposite of constructive, and I think you know what has happened in these last several months, I think, has revealed that whether it is Mark Fabiani's counsel or the Spanos family's desires, that the team does not want to stay here. I don't think throughout this entire process they've done a single thing that would indicate that they want to stay here.
Yeah.
And I think pulling out from the negotiations, in which we felt very optimistic that you know, we have come up with a solution and a financing framework that is giving them everything that they've ever said they wanted.
Yeah.
And I think it's incredibly disingenuous for them to pull out in this process. I think it's incredibly disingenuous for them to cite the CEQA environmental impacts as an excuse to for pulling out. And so, you know, it's a sad day, I think, right now. It's you know, I've been very optimistic throughout this process in spite of a lot of reasons to not be optimistic. But I think, you know, what they did today is an indication that they have no desire to be here. And for them, it's just about, you know, a group of billionaires trying to figure out how they can get richer as
That's
opposed
it.
To honoring the commitment of the fans to a city that has supported them through some pretty unpleasant years. And it's too bad. And I feel bad for the city. I feel bad for myself as an NFL fan, as a Chargers fan, that this is where we are today.
Yeah, that is. And Jonathan, you know, chime in on that because, you know, he does write for the Real Estate in Sports.
That's right, Carlos. And I agree with what Jason said in terms of what's going on in the negotiations. But when you think about what's going on with the Los Angeles factor versus San Diego, yes, the fans are here. Yes, they've been here for 50 some odd years. And I grew up a Charger fan.
Yeah, big time.
But when you think about what goes on in LA, just look at what happened with the Los Angeles Clippers a couple of years ago. The Clippers sold for $2 billion, and that is an NBA team. Now, when Forbes ranks the NFL teams in terms of what they are worth, the Chargers are not even worth $1 billion. So if they move to Los Angeles, yes, there's more risk, but they've got a commitment, as they say, from Goldman Sachs to finance this move and even cover some of their losses. That if they were to move to Los Angeles and then sell the team, you have to assume that the franchise value is going to well make up for that. And if the Spanos family ever wants to sell, they're going to make some more money back in the future and have that number two media market to boast.
It's pretty crazy. And Tyler?
Well, and I agree completely with what Jonathan said there. I mean, if this is just about money, you know, San Diego was never an option. And I guess from our perspective, the disappointment is, why lead us on? Why keep telling us that being in San Diego is what's important to you? And I mean, the dollars and cents, there's no question about it. I mean, it's a $950 million value team today. After a couple of years in Los Angeles, they're a $2 billion team. You know, if in fact the Carson deal with the Raiders is actually a fact and not a fantasy, you know, you're talking about 16 regular season games. You're talking about, you know, another four preseason games. And unfortunately, it's the Raiders and the Chargers, so I don't think we can expect much in the way of postseason games. But you know, that's certainly a more lucrative venue from the standpoint of filling seats for 20 games a year as opposed to filling seats for 10 games a year. And in what is a smaller market. And, you know, I guess the disappointment and betrayal is not so much that they made a decision based on how they, you know, how billionaires could get richer, which is what this does end up ultimately coming down to. It's why lead us on to believe that you actually wanted to be here
the whole time.
The city and the county and the fans through this exercise that you never intended to honor anything that came through. And, you know, and it was pretty obvious by their behavior that they didn't want to see success. And, you know, I think the Trump card that we can all maybe pray for is that the NFL, you know, may decide to not let the team relocate there. The Rams are way far ahead of the Chargers and the Raiders in terms of, you know, their plans in the LA market. And, you know, the Kroenke family between he and his wife are worth $13 billion. And so they can afford penalties that may be assessed by the NFL for relocating outside of the rules. But neither the Spanos family nor the Davis family in Oakland have the financial resources to kind of flip the bird to the NFL and say, we'll do what we want.
Exactly. Well, that's Jason Rowe from Revolvus. Jason, stay with us just for a couple minutes. All right, we got to take a quick commercial break. I've got Jonathan Horn in here from the UT and then Tyler Anderson from Casual Fridays. We got a great show. Hang in there. We got a 1 minute break. We'll be right back to you.
AM1170TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM1170TheAnswer.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt that you can't pay? At People's Tax Relief, we have programs available to help you, including our Emergency Mediation of Taxes, or EMT program. If you qualify, you will get a reprieve against collections. Asset seizures will be suspended. Some accrued penalties will be waived, and collections will be suspended altogether. Call People's Tax Relief to find out if you qualify at 800-817-1300. That's 800-817-1300. 800-817-1300.
Hi, this is Carlos Gutierrez with Coldwell Banker Previews International here in San Diego. And I wanted to share that Coldwell Banker Previews International is the most trusted company in the world when it comes to handling the sale or purchase of real estate. The reach here at Coldwell Banker Previews International on the internet is the most comprehensive internet marketing initiative ever created for exposing homes to the worldwide buyer and also sellers. So if you're thinking of buying or selling real estate anywhere, check us out, coldwellbanker.com.
AM 1170, The Answer salutes those who serve.
We gave Tom 12 seconds to give 6 reasons why he opened a Mathnasium Learning Center franchise.
Okay. Great income potential. Doing good for kids. Doing what I love. Making math make sense to kids. 500 centers open already. 1 every 3 days. Mathnasium taught me the business. Helps me. Supports me.
Time's up. Pretty good. For franchise information, visit Mathnasium.com or take the first step right now. Call 855-361-MATH. That's 855-361-6284.
Look no further. We have the answer. AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, San Diego, welcome back. It's Carlos Gutierrez, Carlos Gutierrez Show here in America's finest city. You know, we were down there, Jason, today with Chief Shelley Zimmerman at the Friends of the Badge event down at the Convention Center. And I tell you, we had a lot of support for Shelley.
I'll tell you what, I think, you know, when you look at Mayor Faulkner's tenure, and he's about a year and a half in, and, you know, obviously I'm a little bit of a partisan on this. His very first decision when he became mayor was to appoint Shelley Zimmerman chief of police, and I don't think there's many things he's prouder of than the job that she's done so far, and she's really amazing. I know my 5-year-old son, I don't think there's anyone in this city that he gets more excited to see than Shelley Zimmerman when she's out and about in the city.
That's awesome, you know, and she's so approachable, and she's got that smile. It's radiating. And it's, you know, it's the biggest thing is the community policing, you know, and I was totally behind that. And it's a great thing that she's doing out in the community. And so is Kevin. And, you know, it's it was a blast to support them today. And one of the things is we go back to Kevin and going back to we're just talking about in here about the Chargers, you know, and you were just saying that why are they dragging us on? And, you know, have you heard anything from Fabiani? Do you talk to him? I mean, what's their deal?
Now, you know, for some reason, he's not a big fan of mine, but I'm kind of okay with that.
Because, why is that, Jason?
I think after, well, you know, for some, you know, he has this reputation of being, you know, a bit of a bully, and I think he's browbeaten a lot of people in the city for a long time, and I think that's unfortunate because that's not really what San Diego is. You know, this is a pretty gentle city when it comes to politics, and, you know, Fabiani's kind of L.A. style of brass knuckles politics, you know, I don't think plays well here. I think he's done a disservice to the organization that he's represented for 14 years, because in 14 years of his time being the point person on finding a stadium solution, he's done nothing but fail.
Yeah.
He's failed through multiple mayors. He has failed through multiple economic conditions. And, you know, not everything is the mayor's fault or the city's fault, and not everything is the Chargers' fault. But, you know, the one common denominator throughout this 14 years of failure is Mark Fabiani. And, I don't know anyone in town that thinks that he is an honest broker. And in my own experiences, just about every time I've heard him open his mouth, I can find about three lies. So I think he's just been incredibly dishonest with fans. I think he's been incredibly dishonest with our civic leaders. And it's unfortunate that Dean Spanos chose this guy to be the representative of this organization, in which, you know, we've got, the eighth largest city in America and one of the largest media markets in the country, and a team that's revered by the fans and frankly, even the non-fans.
Yeah.
The Chargers are part of the San Diego fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they picked this guy to be the point person to try to get a stadium deal, and he failed. And he's done it in a terrible way.
What I think is so crazy to me is it seems like, and this is a fan speaking, every time the Chargers have said anything, I'm sorry, every time the city of San Diego said anything positive, it seems like that same day the Chargers are throwing, like, you know, a blanket over the fire. Any ounce of momentum we get, like when they decided that they're going to actually go to the table and negotiate. Oh, by the way, we just hired Carmen Policy to spearhead our project up in, you know, Carson. So from a fan, that rubs me the wrong way.
One of the things that I would add about Mark,
interject real quickly. In 7 months, I defy someone to point to one single thing that the organization has done that demonstrates that they want to be in San Diego. One thing, and I don't think you can find that. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Other than some public comments that say it, of course, the actions speak louder than words. And just as Tyler was saying, Mark Fabiani, you know, talking about hiring Carmen Policy and doing all those things. But one of the things I would say Mark Fabiani has done, and by the way, I have emailed with him recently about stories, and he's usually pretty responsive, but he doesn't say very much. So that's one of the issues we have. But what I would say is that he's done some very good things for Dean Spanos in terms of moving the ball forward. So if we think back to January, when Faulkner announced that he was going to be creating a Chargers task force, well, Fabiani was very upset about that. He thought that was not going to move the ball forward. So then the Chargers go ahead and announce this Carson plan, and all of a sudden this deadline gets moved up to May, and then we get this task force plan that kind of goes with the Chargers schedule. And Fabiani said that on the radio the other day, that he actually did accomplish that and they've gotten what they've wanted. But the thing that I would point out that's going on today is the task force came out and said that the Chargers should contribute $300 million. And they also want them to pay about $10 million a game in rent. So that's several hundred million dollars. And I think part of this may be that the Chargers don't want to pay that much money. And therefore, this all could be something in terms of negotiating to get that number down and see what more public contribution they can get from the city. Because this is all NFL and Charger mandated. There's no rule in stone that says that they have to have a decision by January or they have to have some special meeting in August. If they wanted to be a little bit more reasonable, they would allow the city to have some sort of vote in June when there's already an election scheduled. But this is all along with their schedule. And I think if the dollars and cents don't make out, they might just continue with that and just say, we tried and that's it. Whether you believe them or not, they're a private organization. And as Mark Fabiani has said, all we have to do is convince the NFL that we've tried, and we already have.
All right.
Yeah, and that's the game they're playing. But, you know, the reality is there are three NFL teams trying to get into one market, and you have 32 NFL owners, 31 minus Spanos, that have to vote on this to decide who gets to go there. And there won't be three teams there, and there won't be two teams there. There will be one team there.
Right.
And, you know, if I were to put my money on it, you know, Los Angeles is so much further ahead than the Chargers and the Raiders to get into that market that, you know, I guess I hang some hopes there. I would go to the point in terms of, you know, Mark's value in this whole process. Yeah, you know, the value is based on deception. If Mark comes in and tells us, hey, we're agnostic on where you do it. I mean, I've literally heard him say it to my face three times that he's agnostic about where we put the stadium, if we put it in the Mission Valley site or if we put it downtown. Three times he said that to my face. And then he runs out to the media after we decide on the Mission Valley location and to, you know, that somehow that we, you know, ignored their wishes. Well, no, that was not the wishes that were expressed. So he sets up and creates situations in which he can manipulate the media and frankly, civic leaders into this game that he's been playing. And so, yeah, he's successful if, you know, creating your own fantasy and then, you know, playing through on this is success. But I don't think he's done anything to advance the ball.
Wow.
When we met with Mark at the end of 2014 and the mayor told him that he was going to put together this task force, Mark said, hey, there's no hurry. We're cool. There's no reason to get moving too fast on this thing. In this meeting, the mayor explicitly told him Steve Cushman was not going to be on this. And what did Mark Fabiani do after the mayor gave the State of the City address? Came out and blasted the idea of Steve Cushman being on a task force that the mayor actually specifically said in the speech Cushman wasn't going to be on the task force. And he knew from our conversations privately that Cushman wasn't going to be on the task force. So he created a controversy that didn't exist and manipulated the media and created a distraction that got everyone focused on Steve Cushman and his role when he didn't have a role. I mean, it has been a game from day one. And so, you know, something I'm going to tell you guys that I've not told anybody, you know, when they demanded that we shorten the process from, you know, the 9 months to 90 days,
right,
we had already privately decided on 60 days. And so when they came out and said 90 days, we all kind of laughed and said, okay, well, that was 30 more than we were going to do.
Right.
And, you know, the reason that we had put out 9 months is partly the advice that Mark had given us on the time that we had to do this. And secondly, you know, the CSAT was a group of volunteers. You know, these folks were not compensated. I've heard a lot of folks in the media and around town, civic leaders, talk about these people should be thanked, because I'll tell you what, they went through an incredible process. They did an incredible job, and they did it for free. They did it because they love San Diego. They did it because they love the Chargers. And if you see any of these nine people out and about when you are out there, you need to thank them for what they did. But part of it was they weren't being compensated. They were doing this because they love our city and they love our team. And, you know, we thought 9 months, you know, allows them to continue on with their real lives and do this in addition to. And by expediting this process to 90 days or even 60 for that matter, we basically made this a full-time job for them.
Completely.
And they got it done. And I think they did an admirable job, and I think they created a great framework. But, you know, there's nothing that the Chargers organization has done in this process that has indicated that they care, that they're grateful, or that they want to be here. You know, they, you know, to go to Jonathan's point, you know, this is about money.
That's it.
You know, they can double their value and they can be much wealthier than they are.
So here's my question here. Okay, so they're pulling away from the table, right, in regards to negotiating.
Well, they said they're going to keep the lines of communication open for whatever that's worth. But I think what was interesting is what was Jason was speaking about in terms of saying one thing and doing another is today there was apparently a press conference with Mayor Faulkner and Ron Roberts after the meeting today with the Chargers, and they expressed some optimism. And then just an hour or two later, Mark Fabiani releases a statement saying that they've decided that they're not going to have any sort of part of this December 15th deadline for a public vote. And then it kind of just threw everything for a loop. And then you had to have Faulkner and Goldsmith and Roberts release a joint statement talking about what specifically they said. So it is kind of, you know, you wonder what those meetings are like. You wonder what they say inside, and then all of a sudden they go outside and say something completely different. It's you got like two different things going on. Right. And, you know, Mark Fabiani has been saying for 14 years, we've been trying to get a new stadium, but you know, several of those years, this economy just couldn't handle
completely.
It.
So, and they were no good either.
Well, that's true, too, especially in the beginning, that 2000, 2001, 2002. But you're right. I mean, they got really good in 06 and with LaDainian, and they were 14-2. And, you know, that was when the Padres were trying to get Petco. They made the World Series, and the vote was a month after. Well, then 07, 08, 09, you have the Great Recession, and then the economy's just in a funk after that for a couple of years. So how many of those 14 years do you really have a chance, and how often was it realistic? I think that's a big question moving forward. And now you just have this ridiculous timeline where there's no public vote scheduled till June. How do you get anything done?
I don't know. Well, my thing is, okay, so they pull back or doing what they're doing, and then what happens? How long is it going to take, Jason, for them to go if they even get selected to go? And what happens if they don't get selected? What happens then?
Well, and I think that's what remains to be seen. You know, there's, you know, going back again to kind of the deceptions of Mark Fabiani, you know, Mark had talked with us and thought through June versus November 2016 for ballot initiatives. You know, our kind of original conversations were talking about, you know, working together on polling and developing the messaging and, and thinking through some of the strategies on a ballot initiative. And then all of a sudden, you know, they came forward with, well, if we can't do it in 2015. And so, you know, we had already gamed out the time frame, and we knew we could do it in 2015. And so, you know, we knew it was a bunch of BS when they started throwing it up. But then we started to realize last week that, you know, this is the latest red herring, that they're going to throw up this and they're going to hang their hat on CEQA, and they're going to ignore the fact that we've got, you know, literally the you know, world-renowned expert on CEQA supporting our position that this is in compliance with CEQA regulations. The mayor's office even offered to do a full EIR. So, you know, anything that they're saying right now is just excuses.
One of the things I would add also about the selection is we've talked about, you know, who would get selected. Would it be the Rams? Would it be the Raiders? Would it be the Chargers? Well, some of us are saying it may not matter, because if you think back to the mid-90s, Al Davis moved the Raiders from Los Angeles to Oakland, and I believe that was the time where he sued the NFL and won, and they said, and the court said, you can go. And so if Kroenke builds the stadium anyway and moves the Rams there, is the NFL going to have any sort of recourse to say no? That's a big question.
Well, and part of the Kroenke wealth is what speaks to that. It's because they could assess penalties and fines, and the Spanos family and the Davis family couldn't afford those fines, but Kroenke can't. I mean, it's couch change for him. So, you know, and I think that's why he's kind of just ignored the officials in St. Louis and Missouri and the NFL, and he's just done whatever the heck he wants to do. You know, the Spanos family doesn't have that luxury.
No.
You know, I think, you know, Jonathan made the point that this team is being valued at $1 billion. You know, the family is valued at $1.1 billion, and $950 million of that is the team, which means the family minus the team is worth $150 million.
That's not
so
bad.
So they get
still
a $50 million fine.
I'll take that.
You know, that's a pretty big chunk of change.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're just not in the position to ignore the NFL on this.
From a fan standpoint, again, I think the thing is you're hoping that the NFL will kind of just, you know, here's the reality is, yeah, the Rams and the Raiders were already there in the 90s. They have a built-in fan base. There's the Chargers are going to be so second, third, fourth, fifth fiddle up there, not even behind the other football team. So whether the Rams or the Raiders or the other team that goes there, Chargers will be the football team number two. But then you're competing against the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kings, you know, the Dodgers,
USC, UCLA.
USC. Where in San Diego, it's you and the Padres, man, and the Aztecs. That's it.
Yeah, if you think there's a lot of like Raider fans in the stadium now, or New England Patriots fans, or Bronco fans in San Diego, LA might be another whole animal there.
Oh yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, that actually is an important point to bring up when it comes to San Diego. You know, I'm from Michigan, and one of the reasons I moved out here was Chargers football, because when you're growing up in Michigan and you get into November and December and you turn on that late game and you see the sunshine coming through
the waves breaking
up, you know, it is just, this place looks like Disneyland. It is magical. So for me growing up in Michigan, you know, it was Simon and Simon. It was that damn made for TV movie with Gary Coleman and the San Diego Chicken. Yep. And it was the Chargers. You know, that's what I knew about San Diego. And all of them seemed pretty cool. So
not
I was
bad.
Kind of excited to get out here. And the first thing I did when I moved out here in 1995, and I couldn't afford to do it, is put on my credit card season tickets to the Chargers. But what I've learned growing up, or spending these last few years here, you know, when you grow up in a Midwestern state and an NFC Central state, like, football's life. Here it's not. San Diego is a Charger city. It's not an NFL city. If we lose the Chargers, I will bet you in my lifetime there will never be another NFL team in San Diego, because I don't think with all the options that we have, going to the beach, going to the mountains, doing all the things that we can do in San Diego versus some of the cold eastern states, that there's no way we're going to recruit the Jacksonville Jaguars, and our, you know, community is going to support them. They're not going to care. No. Like, I think our city is willing to accept certain amounts of investment to keep the Chargers here, but I don't think they are for just recruiting any NFL team here. And I will tell you another thing. When you look at the demographic trends in America and the Latino population and its growth, particularly in the Southwest, but nationally, is there a better team to be a gateway to Latin America than the San Diego Chargers? I mean, I think the Chargers and the Dallas Cowboys are the NFL's opportunity to internationalize the sport even more than it already is, to a growing demographic that's very important to our domestic markets. And if we close the door on San Diego, I think we're going to close it forever, and I think it's going to hurt the NFL and their ability to appeal to Latinos over the long term.
I hear you. You know what? It's going to go to the other football MLS
exactly.
team. That's what I think.
A good sport.
Yeah. It's a great sport.
And to your point, too, you know, the empty stadiums that happen on when the Chargers are bad, let's be honest, we've seen it, or that are, you know, filled with basically fans of the other teams, that's going to happen in L.A., too. I mean, people in L.A. are going to do the same thing. They're going to go to the beach. There's, you know, the warm weather climates, and especially when you're that second fiddle team, they're not going to have that problem solved just because they're moving up there. They had those problems in the early 90s with the Raiders, with the Rams. That's why they left.
If the teams are good, people will show up.
Exactly.
And that the Chargers are mediocre. They've been, 9-7 the last 2 years, and that was after a year of 7-9. That's just mediocre football. So if they're good, people will go. If not, maybe they'll go check out the USC Trojans or maybe the Raiders.
You never know. Well, hey, this is Carlos Gutierrez, Carlos Gutierrez Show. We have Jason on from Revolvis. Jason, thank you so much. I know you're calling in from D.C. It's late out there. We hope to see you back home here in San Diego. And, Jason,
Appreciate it, guys. I'm going to go open a beer and watch the second half of the game.
Go. All right, Jason, thank you so much. All right, we've got Jonathan in here and Tyler. We're going to get right back to you here in 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
Warning, the federal solar tax incentive goes away next year. Energy isn't getting any cheaper, and month after month, your power bill gives you a headache. Solar can chase your power bill headaches away. Go solar your way right now with white glove treatment from Direct Energy Solar. The solar rush is on. Wait too long and you'll miss out on your 30% federal tax credit. That's thousands of dollars in your pocket. Plus, choose Direct Energy Solar by July 15th and claim our best exclusive offers yet, including a $1,500 rebate straight from Direct Energy Solar. Plus, we guarantee your system will be installed before the summer sunshine ends, or you get a $500 rebate. And ask about zero out-of-pocket financing. Direct Energy Solar handles every detail with a fully customized installation. How big will your bill be this summer? With solar, your AC can run on the sun. Beat next year's mad rush to solar. Call Direct Energy Solar now and learn more. 800-456-1170. 800-456-1170. 800-456-1170. Not available in all areas. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Carlos Gutierrez here, Coldwell Banker Previews International in San Diego, professional real estate agent. And I wanted to share that we need resources for our homes. We want to fix our homes up. We want to get them tip-top shape. If we're thinking of living in them for the next 5, 10, 20 years, or you're looking to sell your home for top dollar, you definitely want to get the home prepared. I've got vetted professionals that I've used for my properties or clients' properties that I've referred for these professionals, whether it's an electrician or a plumber or a roofer, landscaper, whatever it is that you need. Anything under your roof or around your home. You can check me out on my website, carlosgsd.com. That's carlosgsd.com, and I look forward to hearing from you soon.
We gave Tom 12 seconds to give 6 reasons why he opened a Mathnasium Learning Center franchise.
Okay. Great income potential. Doing good for kids. Doing what I love. Making math make sense to kids. 500 centers open already. 1 every 3 days. Mathnasium taught me the business. Helps me. Supports me.
Time's up. Pretty good. For franchise information, visit Mathnasium.com or take the first step right now. Call 855-361-MATH. That's 855-361-6284.
AM 1170 The Answer and AM 1170 TheAnswer.com.
All right, San Diego, welcome back. All right, we got some blood pumping here talking Chargers, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's one of those things, and we'll forget about it and we'll be at the beach, or we might be in the mountains, or we might be going to Mexico or going downtown. Who knows? I've got Jonathan here from the Union Tribune, Tyler Anderson from Casual Fridays. Jonathan, we were just talking about the Chargers, talking about Qualcomm, talking about the value of land here in San Diego. And you were just talking about the trends of like who's coming here. Like Jason was talking about growing up in Michigan, and they see, you know, they're watching that Monday night game or Sunday night game, and it comes on and we got the waves breaking. Sunny girls walking around in bathing suits, and it looks like Disneyland, really. I mean, that's why people move here. We're talking about the trends of people moving to San Diego. What are you seeing?
Well, what we're seeing, Carlos, is the fact that San Diego over the last year has created 40,000 new jobs, and that creates a demand for housing. Now, a lot of those jobs are coming in high-paying fields like biotech. We've got a lot of them over on the Torrey Pines cluster. We've got Qualcomm, which is very famous, a Fortune 500 company. They're always on the leading edge of technology. So you have a demand for people. It brings people in. So that's one spectrum, and those jobs pay pretty well and therefore creates a demand for housing. And with that, people are going to rent or they're going to buy. But generally speaking, if they're young and they're a millennial and they're being recruited, they're going to look to rent. That seems to be where the demand is these days. Yeah. Also, the fact is that there's a lot of people who just can't qualify to own a home these days. So you have that on one end of the spectrum. And then you have the people that are already here. And with the job market getting better, there's millennials who are moving out of their parents' house and they're forming their own households. More demand. And then finally, a lot of the job growth has been on the lower end of the spectrum in like the tourism field. That is more less of a sort of real estate in terms of ownership position. But again, it just shows that there's more people coming in and spending money here. So the economy seems to be doing well if you have the skills and demand. The question is, can you afford to live here?
Exactly. And that's one of the things, you know, we are seeing a lot of the, because, you know, my market is more of the coast. Mm-hmm. I sell all over. However, you are seeing a lot of the high-end real estate getting rented at a high end. And where do you live, Tyler?
We live in Del Sur, which is just exploded.
Yeah.
We moved to one of the newer divisions a year and a half ago, and now it's just everywhere. So I said, I took a Snapchat, which we'll talk about a little later, and did it the other day. And I said, I know I've officially moved to suburbia because they're building a brand new Target right there.
So. Get that 5% off with the Target card.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. So.
Well, and then we're talking about you can't qualify. I mean, you're talking out there. You're talking million-dollar homes where you live. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket now. You go $1 million. Wow. You know, back in the day.
A lot of the people, though, are, you can see, like, and again, I don't have any research to back this up, but this is just from the eyeball test of the neighborhood. It's people who maybe moved in there 5-6 years ago, got the 3-bedroom, you know, place first. Now they're upgrading to the 4 or 5-bedroom.
Right.
And that's where a lot of those bigger homes are getting there.
And when they bought 4 or 5 years ago, they got a really good deal. Definitely.
Exactly.
You know, and coming on the heels of the Great Depression.
Well, Carlos, you're talking about land here and the price of land and the cost of land. Well, one of the reasons that it's expensive here is there's not too much of it. I mean, if you think about San Diego's market, we've got another country to the south. We've got the ocean to the west. We've got Orange County to the north, and then there's land east. So where do you really expand to unless you build up? And we've all seen what happens when there's more dense projects. Look at what happened with One Paseo over in Carmel Valley. It was almost challenged in court, but they ended up scaling it down. I think it's been approved for that. So the question is, what do you do moving forward? And given that, we see a lot of multifamily building permits, more than single family, which is the opposite of what was going on before the recession. So in terms of more housing supply, it seems like it's going to be either condos or apartments and not necessarily that single family home that maybe people are aspiring to get.
And that's very true. And that's what they're seeing. A lot of the millennials are trying to buy, you know, more where they want to live. They want to be closer to everything and not have to be out in suburbia when you do have kids. And the millennials that don't have families, it makes sense. And they'll pay a higher premium.
Oh, just look at what's going on in the East Village. You see studios out there for $2,000 or more. And you wonder, well, who can afford that? But then we go back to the job creation. And there are people coming out of the universities that have these skills and demand. And when you have people that can develop the next great drug or develop the next big chip for the iPhone, they're willing to pay a premium for that. And therefore, one of the reasons we've seen, according to analysts, these units coming on, not only can they get that if they are lucky enough to be able to build something, but according to analysts, it is expensive to build here. And one of the ways to make money is to charge as much as you can for rent. You can get a little bit of a profit. So in terms of that, there's kind of that double-pronged approach that people are taking. They can get it. And the only way they can make a profit is to charge that much money for rent.
It's very true. And you're seeing downtown in the East Village, if you've been down there lately, they got a 50-story building, the Pinnacle down there.
Right.
And that's just going to be purely rentals. And then I heard they're going to be building another Pinnacle right next to it as well. And that's like right almost on the 5 freeway there in the East Village, which it's cleaning up the area. But then you see right outside the door there, you know, you're seeing homeless tents all around there. So it's tough.
You know? It's probably just more development coming down the pipeline. I mean, that ballpark, if you go into Petco Park and you take that escalator up and you look at that mural of what it was like before they built it, you wouldn't recognize
it. Not even.
It's amazing.
And we've been born and raised in San Diego and grew up a lot in Barrio Logan. You know, we still own, you know, a couple buildings down there and stuff. And you see that whole area is cleaned up tremendously. That, I think, is the next whole frontier that and going to be east out that way.
Yeah, I think the question is, are people going to be building?
Yeah,
well, that's the big question.
You know, and luckily they didn't pass the linkage fee. They were trying to pass that, and that didn't make sense.
Are you serious? That was another issue that I covered, and it was one of those that seems to be another issue that goes on here in San Diego. Something passes, and then there are groups that do not like it, and then they put it back to the council, whether you put it on the ballot or you come up with another deal, or they have to pull it all together. Mm-hmm. So we saw that with Barrio Logan community plan.
Yeah.
We saw that with the linkage fee. And so that's just another question going back to the Charger Stadium. I mean, if that happens, I think the Chargers were worried about another referendum coming up. And
exactly.
I think that might be one of the reasons assuming they don't have an ulterior motive,
right.
It was another reason that they said, we're not even going to deal with this right now.
And Tyler Anderson is a social media guru, and he works with a lot of the hotels and things like that. What's tourism doing?
As far as
all over, I mean, what are you seeing right now? Because you do a lot of social media,
with real estate, or
yeah, a lot with real estate. And it's really the economy, is I guess you would say, is a travel up.
Travel's up, yeah, okay. Definitely. Tourism's up across the board. I mean, most of the hotels we work with are definitely, I think, doing well. Some of them, of course, if they're going through like a major renovation, that can hit them a little bit because they're maybe not big enough, bringing in the big groups, but as a whole. Tourism's been up and speaking to your point earlier about, you know, the jobs that are created, I even think we're a perfect example of that. Casual Fridays, you know, we went from 3 employees a couple of years ago. Now we're over, 25, and
that's awesome.
Everybody who's moving here is coming from other zip codes. Yeah. Actually, everybody who's applying for the jobs are, people from the Midwest,
far
from the East
zip
Coast.
Codes. Yeah.
You know, and it's attracting that millennial. Let's be honest. Millennials mm-hmm. want to work in social. And they're coming here because I don't think that's we're always going to have that with San Diego. They think it's so cool being a San Diego based company. They want to come here. They want to live at the beach, or they want to live downtown. They want to live in those communities. Definitely renting right now, to your point, just because it is expensive. I mean, who can afford, a $2,500 rent?
It's crazy. For a one bedroom.
One of the reasons I would bring up San Diego is having the talent here, as you said, Tyler, and I think that's what companies seem to be seeing, and that's why a lot of the biotechs and Qualcomms are staying here. And we've got Sempra as well, the other Fortune 500 company here. It was just a couple of years ago that you had Rick Perry coming to California and trying to write businesses checks to move to Texas. The question was, well, okay, we'll give you a couple million dollars to move to Texas, but are the employees there that you want to attract? Now, some people would say that yes, in Austin, there are a lot of people that want to live in Austin. I've been to Austin. It's a great town.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of San Diego, you've got UCSD, you've got the beaches, you've got a lot of people that just want to be here. And because of that, yes, there are some costs associated with doing business in California. But the fact of the matter is, if the talent is here, and it sounds like it is, and every indication is that it is, that the companies are going to locate here to tap into that.
And we also like to call it the sunshine tax.
Right.
Yeah, it is. Totally so, sunshine tax.
To that point too, I mean, I look at, our company, we also do have regional offices in other cities, but still San Diego's headquarters. And one of the things, like, there's still times where I want to pinch myself, like, gosh, we work with a lot of businesses in Florida, properties in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You save like about, 14% on state income tax right there. At the end of the day, though, California and San Diego just has that perfect weather.
Yeah.
We don't have the humidity like they do out there.
Yeah.
And that's where I think people are willing to put a premium on it for.
Exactly.
Sunshine tax.
Sunshine tax.
And your office is right down in Pacific Beach, right?
Actually, we moved, Carlos.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we outgrew the space. It's a good problem to have.
Good, congratulations.
But we went to Old Town. Old Town, close downtown.
Great location. Close to everything. You got Old Town Max down there.
And we're right there on Old Town Ave, so we're right at the heart of it all.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit more about who you're working with. You were saying a large percentage are the hotels around the country.
Yeah, so we specialize in the hospitality sector, I'd say. So that predominantly is hotels. We work with probably about 80 hotels throughout the United States. A lot of them, of course, here in San Diego, up through, Seattle, over to Boston, down to South Florida. We actually do have one property in the Caribbean, so I can say I actually go way down there.
Nice.
But then we also do work with other brands too. We have a lot of great local San Diego institutions that we work with as well. So, but I'm not going to lie, the hospitality sector is the most fun with social media. As I like to say, people don't like to complain on social, when they're on vacation or even business travel versus if it's, buying a car.
Yeah. We've got Comic-Con coming up in a couple of weeks, and that's all about
Comic-Con is so great for social media and for the hospitality industry and just overall as a whole. We were talking about the Chargers before, but the Comic-Con kind of ties into this, and especially with social media. That's a great just advertisement for the city of San Diego.
Completely.
Because you're bringing in, I wish I knew the numbers. Let's just say
it's $100 million at least, right?
How many people though? I'm trying to think, like Comic-Con's got to bring in at least...
I think it's at least 180,000 at least. Maybe,
all right. A lot of rooms.
So maybe 200,000 people are coming in. It's a citywide, taking over the whole basically downtown market. And you're actually seeing a push out to the other hotels of people who can't afford to stay in the gas lamp or downtown. But then you're getting all these people are using social media, and it's basically one big advertisement for San Diego. So
hashtag San Diego.
Hashtag San Diego.
There's another thing that could go to LA in a couple of years, assuming they can work out what's going on with the hoteliers. I feel like they are always kind of talking about that. And I know that WonderCon, which is Comic-Con's other convention, was lured to LA for next year. But I think San Diego's got at least one more year here. And I think they're trying to work out some sort of deal with hotel room nights for the attendees. So that is just one more thing that San Diego faces as a threat right now. We've got the Chargers and we've got Comic-Con.
Yeah. So, we were down there at the convention center today for the Friends of the Badge, and that place is enormous.
So big.
Yeah.
It's an awesome convention center too. I mean,
Comic-Con would argue that it's not big enough.
They might have a point, but as far as convention centers that are bigger out there, I mean, there again, it goes back to those attendees, they love coming to San Diego. Do you really want to go, like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, one of the largest convention centers is in Orlando. Do you want to go to Orlando in the middle of June or July when it's like 99 degrees and ridiculous humidity? No. So.
No, I think Comic-Con wants to be here. They think they started in San Diego. They've been here for decades, and it's just grown and grown and grown. And you go through downtown, it is kind of a boost to the economy. I wouldn't say kind of, it is. I mean, when you just look at the parking lots, you drive through there, you see $50 to park your car.
That's crazy.
They wouldn't put that up if they couldn't get it.
That's real estate right there, man.
Even a Padre game is $20-25 if you're close to the stadium. So that's pretty good. And I would say that the restaurants and the hotels, they're all pretty full. So the question is, are you going to keep them or not? It sounds to me like those two parties might have a little bit better chance than our football team, but you never really know.
You never do know. That's Jonathan, writer for the UT, and Tyler Anderson. We're going to be back. We got one more commercial break. Stay tuned.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, this is Carlos Gutierrez here, professional real estate agent with Coldwell Banker Previews International. Coldwell Banker is probably the most trusted company in the world when it comes to handling the sale or purchase of real estate. Our reach in the internet is the most comprehensive internet marketing initiative ever created for exposing homes to the worldwide buyer pool. So if you're thinking of buying or selling real estate, check us out, coldwellbanker.com. That's coldwellbanker.com.
Your local pharmacist is also a Health Mart pharmacist, and they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed, but I was so relieved. Her Health Mart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit healthmart.com to find a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Intelligent, conservative, AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, San Diego fans, welcome back. It's Carlos Gutierrez here, talking everything real estate, Chargers, social media, and rentals. That's a big one.
Rentals, those are big. That's the market right now. You want an apartment, its vacancy's pretty low. It's like 4% in San Diego.
While your rent won't stop going up, right?
That's true. It's all supply and demand. And CBRE projects that rents are going to keep rising 3% annually until 2020, when they'll slow a little bit. But by then, the average rent in town is going to be more than $2,000 a month. So brace yourself. Now
it's worth about $1,500 right now, right?
About that, depending on who you look at. Marcus & Millichap has their own. CBRE has their own. The Apartment Association has their own. And I think the big thing here is that the pace of rent is outpacing wage growth as a whole. So if you do get one of those jobs at Qualcomm or one of the biotechs, all right, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But if you're like most people, then you're probably not getting a raise. And if you are, it's not as much as your rent is going up. So that's a big problem.
So the biggest thing is really if you can, if you have a little bit of money and you have good credit, talk to a lender. And, you know, we normally have Jeanette on, however, she's not available today to talk, but they have some deals where you can get in for 0.5% to buy a home at 0.5% up to 5.46.
One of the big problems in the real estate market is that there are still about 40,000 San Diegans who are underwater left over from the Great Recession, and they can't list their homes. And so the inventory is pretty low. There's only about two or maybe three months of inventory here. That's about half of what people would like to see. And the issue with that is that there's so much pent up demand and such little supply that it's hard to break in if you're that first time buyer. And the issue being that is like investors will come in, they'll buy it and rent it out, or people that are underwater, they can't trade up. So there's just not that free flow. And then as we talked about earlier, there are fewer building permits for people to build new single family homes. So the market is a little bit out of whack right now.
Well, and when you talk about that, guys, I mean, you really see a lot of the baby boomers, and that's who I'm working with a lot with right now, are downsizing from the big family home, and maybe one of them passed away, so they have to sell it. We're not seeing a lot of that, though. In there's just a little stall in the market, you know, in regards to, because there's not a lot of inventory. Prices are only going to go up so much. I mean, the buyers are very, very intelligent out there.
Well, it was only a couple of years ago that we were seeing prices annually going up 25%, but those were all the fix and flip foreclosures.
Yeah.
And now it's back down to the mid to low single digits. And that, I think, is more sustainable because it's just a maybe a couple of percent above inflation. So at least you get some payback on your investment.
And that's very true. And one of the things we're looking year over year, and that's what we do, and properties on the market last year at this time was 6,900. At this time, there's only 5,860. So, this is attached, detached. And then new listings, 4,208 to 3,941 as this year now. Pending sales, this is one here that the market's moving pretty quick. Last year at this time is 2,600, and now it's 3,248.
You know, Trulia did an interesting study a month or two ago, and they looked at the number of homes on the market at a specific day in February and measured how many of them were still on the market 2 months later. And it was only about a third in San Diego. And that compares to about 44% of them a year earlier. So it's definitely a seller's market. If you own property and you want to sell it, there's probably a better chance of you having a success this day and age. Not necessarily good news for people looking to buy that first home.
Well, at least they're going to get a home instead of renting and throwing all their money down rent. Paying my mortgage. I'm okay with that, though.
Pay your property tax. Yeah.
Pay my mortgage, please. Yeah. Yeah, take it. Well, you know, we got a really great event coming up for Tyler. Tyler Anderson here with Casual Friday, social media company helping, 80 hotels, you were saying, a lot of different. What other business are you working with here in San Diego that you can help pitch here?
So we actually work with University of San Diego. So we work with a lot of great businesses here in San Diego, obviously USD, some car dealerships. I'm not a big guy of naming the clients out there, but I'll do USD because I'm a proud alum there. But then we also do some national brands as well. Probably some sub shops that you guys maybe go frequent every now and then, I'm sure. So, but social media day is something that we have coming up, and that's one of the reasons I want to talk to you, Carlos, is, this was an event that was created about 6 years ago by Mashable, which is a really widely known publication. And basically just how social media has impacted and changed the way in which we communicate. They started a social media day campaign, and we kind of grabbed the bull by the horns and set the initiative to do a really great event here in San Diego. So social media day is celebrated worldwide on June 30th. And I'd say consistently the last 4 or 5 years, we've had the largest meetup. Now, how we've changed it the last couple of years, we've realized that so many business owners or people who are just using social media want to learn more about it.
Right.
And so we made it more of an educational session now. So the last 2 years, we've actually added the educational component where people can go and literally learn from some of the biggest thought leaders in the space. And we are kind of lucky. You're talking about people coming to San Diego from a real estate perspective. I can name at least 3 or 4 people who are internationally known as an expert in this space, but they moved here to San Diego because this is the hotbed for social media marketers.
Yeah.
So we have, I want to say at least 5 or 6 people are, like I said, just widely known as the experts in their field who call San Diego home. And that's why we've been able to, have a great event, because they want to be involved. So just a phenomenal event. If you want to learn about, the latest in Facebook advertising, Instagram marketing, Pinterest marketing, whatever it is, that's what this event's for.
Well, maybe you can give David some tips. I know you can help me. Definitely.
That is my favorite event of the year. And I will tell you, go buy your tickets now.
Yeah, so tell us, Tyler, how do we get our tickets? Where do we go? Can we catch you on also Twitter and Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, all the information is at socialmediadaysandiego.com. If you Google it, you'll find it. What's really cool about this year, though, and I don't know, Dave, if you could speak to this since you went last year, we've always pulled local. Don't get me wrong, I love pulling local. Okay. But because of the press the event has gotten the last couple of years, I've had other people now saying, hey, I'd love to come speak at your event. So this year, we actually have one of the world's leading experts on Facebook ads coming in from Denver. Wow. We have Sue Zimmerman, who's coming all the way from Boston, and she's one of the best and baddest out there when it comes to Instagram marketing. We have Amy Schmidauer, who's coming all the way from Cleveland, who's just a superb YouTuber. So again, we're pulling top talent from outside of San Diego, in addition to bringing all the great people here in San Diego. So tickets, you can buy them online. They will go up. Prices will go up here. I think this coming weekend, you get them online, socialmediadaysandiego.com.
Oh, that's awesome, man. And going from radio back in the day, you know, and now owning your own business, having 25 employees, still being in San Diego, because a lot of people, you know, Jonathan, you hear it. I mean, they're moving here, but they're moving other places because of jobs.
That's right. I mean, there's a lot of competition, and San Diego does hold its own in terms of jobs, but certainly the Silicon Valley has a big pull. We've got Apple up there, and they're always hiring, and they're starting their own news website. So that's one of the things that they're expanding into. So San Francisco's economy, the Bay Area, but San Diego seems to be holding its own pretty well with its own big industries such as biotech and Qualcomm and
military,
and the emerging one that, you know, they call it Silicon Valley. We call it Social Media Beach down here.
Social Media, well, Casual Fridays, and his logo, are two flip flops in the sand, isn't it?
That's pretty much it. This is a standard attire right here.
Oh, that's not bad. I love it. That's the way I show up in the morning, definitely every day, but then don the suit. Ah. Well, hey, guys, you know, you can catch, we're on Podomatic. We're going to get this thing up to iTunes also. So if you'd like to share this, go on our website, carlosgsd.com. We appreciate you here. We're here every Tuesday.
And we'll have a good guest for you next week. SDPD Chief Shelley Zimmerman will be live in studio.
Oh, that's going to be great. I want to say thank you, Jonathan Horn here and Tyler Anderson, for coming on the show, taking time away from your families and friends. We love you guys in San Diego.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good night.
This program on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Allied Media Group.